I'm Tom Wallet, editor of Search VMware, and I'm speaking with Renee Van Den Bedem, chief architect of Saudi Telecom Company. Renee has been working in the IT and telecommunications industry for more than 20 years. He is a VMware certified design expert, and he presented at VMworld 2014. He blogs at vcdx133.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at vcdx133. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Tom.
Oh, thank you for joining me. First off, can you tell me a little bit about your technical background?
Yes, so I originally started as a hardware engineer in the telecoms industry. So I'm working on PDH infrastructure, which is the precursor to optical networking equipment. And then from there, I just evolved over time and moved into the enterprise. And for the last 10 years, I've been working as an architect and a strategist for enterprise solutions.
And can you tell me how you got started with VMware products?
Yes, so 5 years ago, I moved to a bank in Saudi Arabia. And there, they just started using VC. ESX 4.0, and it was basically being used for test and development, and we developed our five-year strategy, and obviously virtualization was a very big part of that. So we needed an owner of the virtualization piece, so I basically took it, became the technical champion for it, and just pushed it and made it happen, and I just learned as much as I could as the project evolved.
And so did you not have much virtualization experience at that point?
As of the end of 2009, no, I basically had none. So in 2009, 2010 was a very big year of learning about virtualization and how VMware's product suite fits together. Obviously, back in 2009, 2010, with then that was ESX 4.0. You basically had your vCenter. In 2012, obviously, we had the VCOps suite, and I think vCloud Director came out in 2010 as well. So I came on, started learning about VMware right at the cusp when they were still in the hypervisor business, and kind of grew my knowledge as VMware released their new products and launched the whole software-defined data center strategy.
And what were your initial impressions going into virtualization for that first time?
Originally, I was a naysayer. I didn't believe it. I thought it was black magic and too good to be true. But as I learned how things, how it all actually fit together, so basically we're talking about statistical multiplexing here, then I could see how it worked. And as I deployed it, I focused completely on development and test environments first, proved that they worked, so through performance testing and all that kind of stuff, and then basically started moving non-critical workloads to vSphere and then to business critical and mission critical workloads as well. So it was basically an evolution for me, with the proof being in the pudding.
And what platform was at the bank Al Bilad where you were?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you tell me what platform they were on?
Yes.
And what did you eventually move to?
Yes. So originally they were an IBM shop. So Bank Al Bilad basically came into being in 2004. So they were completely an IBM shop running System P, and also they had a little bit of HP nonstop. Their x86 workloads were basically IBM Blade servers, so just physical HS21, HS20 blades. And then as we evolved over time, we moved, so we started with straight physical to virtual conversions of physical x86 infrastructure. Then we started moving compatible workloads from System P, so running AIX 5.3, 6.1, to vSphere. So there we were just doing a platform transformation. So a very good candidate for that was our IBM WebSphere workloads, so MQ and application server. and also our Oracle workloads, so just straight databases. So the great thing there is those companies have Linux binaries and Windows Server binaries that you can run, and they do support them in vSphere, so having them virtualized. And there we basically spent 4 years doing that, and the capstone of that entire process was moving the core banking system from a monolithic, large AIX system P system, and moving that, transforming it completely to .NET framework on Windows Server 2012 with Microsoft SQL Server 2012 in the back end. So yeah, it was basically just a big evolution, testing, trying, and evolving our strategy as we moved along.
And in that process, you became a believer in virtualization, it sounds like.
Yes. So in 2012 was really a big year for me. So one of the big problems that we had was, obviously you have people, process, and technology. So in the Middle East, technology and budget is not really an issue, but people and process is. So one of the weaknesses that we had operationally was not enough training for our staff. So they really didn't fully understand what the VMware suite of products was, what it did, how it worked. And in particular, obviously, vSphere was the bedrock of the strategy that we evolved. So I had a massive training program that was sponsored by the company. So I was one of the training attendees for the ICM and the VSOS training courses, and also vSphere Design Workshop. So that was all a global knowledge in React. So it was all local training. We had good instructors. So as I went through those training courses, I was telling the guys, okay, you need to go for your VCP, you can go for VCAPs, let's do it. So I took that as a challenge to try that myself. So I did my VCP, did my VCAPs, and then I just finished my vSphere 5.1 design for the basically the cap, or the next evolution of the strategy as far as virtualization went within the bank. And I thought, okay, let me try and submit this for VCDX. Let's see what happens. And 2 years later, I succeeded with getting my VCDX. And wow, what a journey that was. Big journey. Lots of learning.
Yeah, my understanding is it didn't go as smoothly as you hoped with the first try.
Correct. Yes, that's right. And go on.
I was going to say, can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So with my first attempt, that was in Barcelona, VMworld Barcelona in 2013. So I didn't know any VCDXs. I wasn't a part of the VMUG. I was just basically working on my own. So I evolved my design, submitted it, was accepted, went and defended, and failed. Then after that, so you get your PDF from the panelists saying where you were weak. So I took all of that on board, and part of being at VMworld and starting to be involved in the V community, so I met some VCDXs, and then also the VCDX program actually opened up a little more. So they started the mentoring program. So I had one official mentor and one unofficial mentor, so they helped me a lot. And basically, I just put in the hours and learned what I had to learn to make it happen, to be a multi-siloed architect who understands the big picture. And lots of mock defenses and being part of a study group, that was another very big part of it, as well as the mentoring. And defended the second time, and thankfully I made it. So it really was a journey. And at the end of it, when I finally got the email saying you're VCDX 133, it was amazing. I was so happy for a week at least. I had a big smile on my face. It was just amazing.
It's a long process. And was part of going through the VCDX process, or at least the panel defense, was it just getting used to talking in front of, you know, some pretty impressive people who have...
Absolutely. You know. Yeah. So by nature, I've always hated public speaking, and I think that's true for most people. For some reason, like riding a motorbike on a motocross track or whatever, or doing dangerous things don't really faze some people, and public speaking for a lot of people is something that cripples you. So for me, that was always an issue, and I really had to practice and practice again and just overcome that fear and the stress and all the worrying and all that kind of stuff. And just, you have to start believing in yourself and just evolve the public speaking skills. It takes a lot of effort. So for me, really, getting through the panel defence, that was a big part of overcoming my fear of public speaking. But where I really knew I'd done it was when I presented at VMworld. So I did two tech talks for V Brown Bag, and I had one official session with a gentleman by the name of Paul Chambray, where we talked about vCenter Configuration Manager. So getting through that was really a big achievement. And I was just saying to my wife the other day, it was just basically 1 year ago that I was in Barcelona and I failed my defence. And 1 year later, I had my VCDX, I presented at VMworld, I'm blogging, I'm podcasting. Like, if you had told me this a year ago, things are going to change for you very rapidly, I wouldn't believe you, you know. So it's amazing how things can change so quickly within life, you know.
Right, and it sounds like you're not going to stop with this VCDX. So you have it in data center virtualization, and I believe you're looking to get it in VCDX and cloud next.
Yes. So what's happened now is I've just changed jobs. I've moved to Saudi Telecom Company, so things are really crazy and very, very busy at the moment. But what I would like to get out of the way over the next year or two, and let's be honest, to do one VCDX track realistically is 9 months to 1 year of your time, right? Because you really do have to put in the time and effort to get your VCAPs first, and then also do a design, particularly when you're doing double and triple tracks, your design has to be perfect, right? Even better than when you submit the first time, because a lot of the marking is from your panel performance. So I'd like to do cloud and also to do network virtualization. The other thing I was dabbling with was Cisco Certified Design Expert, which I've had on the back burner, but that's also a lot of work as well, because you really have to deep dive into Cisco's technologies.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you mentioned Cisco and network virtualization, I noticed on your blog that you recently put together a home lab for testing out NSX, and I'm interested, do you have any plans to implement or what your thoughts are on NSX, and maybe talk a little bit if you have experience with the Cisco alternative, how did that...
So with moving to Saudi Telecom, one of the big things they have going at the moment is a network virtualization project that I've just walked into. So they're looking at Cisco ACI versus just a straight leaf and spine switch network with VMware NSX. So they both have their strengths and weaknesses. In my opinion, I think NSX is a very disruptive technology, and I think for network virtualization, particularly if you're already in the vSphere stack and VCAC, it's the way to go for sure. It's definitely the future, without a doubt in my mind. And the main reason is there's no vendor lock-in. You can switch hypervisors, you can switch networking hardware. It runs on anything, right? Whereas one of the big weaknesses I see with Cisco ACI is you actually have to lock yourself into the Nexus 9000 with the specific line card. And one of the cool things about NSX that I can see for the use cases that I'm looking at the moment is I have a new data center that's been built. We're going to implement new switching infrastructure in there and also use NSX. The cool thing is I can also extend that network virtualization into my old data center where I'm running legacy hardware. And as long as we understand the design limitations of using legacy hardware, we can use NSX in there as well. So it's very disruptive, and I think it's very cool, and it definitely has a future within the data center network, I think.
And if you were are looking to implement NSX, realistically bring it into the production environment, how long would you anticipate that taking?
I think it's ready now, to tell the truth. When you look at the track record of what Nasiru was doing, so with NSX, we're now on version 6.1.1, and the reference customers that VMware has, they're all using it in their production networks. And we're talking companies like NTT, AT&T, so we're talking about service providers. I think it's ready now. As far as moving it operationally, so obviously you would start with your tested development workloads, just like the story that I told earlier with my vSphere evolution. But you would be moving it quite rapidly, I think, into production workloads, I think.
Yeah, everything that I've seen, people are very excited about it, and despite what people are hearing, NSX does work on Cisco hardware.
Absolutely, yeah, it works on any hardware. NSX doesn't care. As long as you've got a hypervisor and you're running the service and you have a physical network that actually meets some basic requirements, okay, obviously it needs to be stable, it needs to be scalable, all that kind of stuff, it'll work.
And so you recently moved from a medium-sized bank to one of the largest service providers in the Middle East. And you mentioned how you sort of walked right into a network virtualization project. What have been some of the other technical or professional challenges associated with that move?
Yeah, so the first thing is just getting my head around scale. So I've worked in the service provider environment before, but not as an architect. So this is early on in the first 10 years of my career. So now I'm chief architect for a company that has 30,000 employees and however many millions of customers, and their data centers are just huge, and they have multiple data centers and new data centers. I'm where I was working in a medium-sized bank. I had two data centers basically with 42-43 racks each. Now I'm working with data centers that have got upwards of 700-800 racks per data center, and we have multiple data centers. So there it's just making sure that whatever strategy I develop with my colleagues, that it's actually scalable, right, and that we can actually operate it and maintain it. And one of the biggest things, and this is true for any IT organization, is you want to make the most efficient use of budget, and you also want to make the most efficient use of your headcount. Because let's face it, skilled people are very hard to get, and this is especially true in the Middle East, because what generally happens is people come in, they work for 1 or 2 years, and then they go again. So all of that knowledge that they've accumulated, unless you hand it on and have it properly documented in procedures and whatnot, it's very difficult to maintain that continuity of information from a people perspective. So for us, cloud management platforms are a big part of the strategy, right? And virtualization and automation orchestration, all of those cool keywords are definitely in the future and a part of the strategy. The big question is how do we do it? How do we make it happen? How do we make it a reality?
And so with that scale, you need something to help you automate. And so I'd imagine you're looking possibly at vCloud Automation Center, which has been renamed.
vRealize Automation.
Yeah.
So a big part of my strategy right now that I'm collaborating with my colleagues is obviously using the vCloud Enterprise Suite with NSX. And the whole VCOps, VCAC, everything that's within that ecosystem. Because it really doesn't make sense to try and use other products when you've already paid for the licensing from VMware. And for our end user computing strategy, so we were already using Horizon View. It's a matter of leveraging that and expanding that to the full Horizon suite. Okay, so AirWatch, Workspace, View, and also Mirage for our physical infrastructure. So this is something, an internal discussion that's going on at the moment.
Okay, and with the size, you also need to be able to monitor things. So what are some of the monitoring tools that you're using to keep an eye on the system?
Yeah, so this is something that's already been running before I arrived. So they are talking to BMC, so there's something going on at BMC. Obviously, for our VMware infrastructure, VCOps, LogInsight, all that stuff I see as being a major part of that. VCOps, with all of the plugins that you have, mm-hmm. We are basically a VMware, Cisco, EMC, HP shop, and also we have a lot of NetApp as well. So operationally, I see VCOps being a big part of that because of all the plugins, and as long as we have something that scales, and my understanding is VCOps does scale, then that would be a big part of the strategy.
And you're looking to get your cloud certification. Do you have a presence in the cloud, or do you have any interest in what the vCloud Air services that are out there?
Yes. So for an enterprise business, as long as you have regulations, government regulations that allow you to use a public cloud service or run a hybrid cloud, I think it's a good idea. One of the things that I was looking at before I left Bank Oldblood was using Office 316 and also Exchange Online to just get rid of the headache of having our own Exchange infrastructure, which is difficult to scale and difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. One of the problems I have is working for the largest service providers in the Middle East. We are supposed to be the public cloud. So at the moment, I'm trying to do everything for ourselves. So we have our own corporate private cloud, and there is also talk of us providing our own public cloud services. So at the moment, hybrid cloud doesn't really make sense for a large service provider.
Mm. And would you be running off the vCloud suite platform to manage everything, or have you not quite gotten there yet?
You're talking about for private cloud service?
Right, right.
Yeah, so my belief is, I think the best way to do it is you have a cookie-cutter footprint. So if you are delivering private cloud services to your enterprise, if that solution can be made to meet the requirements for public cloud services, okay, so to your customers who are not employees of your organization, then you should be using the same thing as well. And this also leverages your licensing agreements that you have, so you can really negotiate a good price and have fixed prices for like the next 5 or 6 years so that you can have the most efficient infrastructure possible. I don't think it really makes sense to go out and do something else different.
And just to change gears a little bit, so you spoke at the last VMworld, and I'm curious what your impressions were of the event, and then maybe what of some of the announcements that were made.
Yep, so that was my first time in San Francisco for VMworld, so I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. But for me, the highlight was the Hangspace and also the Solutions Exchange. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on there, a lot of cool people, a lot of smart people. So basically everyone converges on that one place. With the announcements, to me it was, okay, we're continuing the software-defined data set journey, and we're also continuing the end-user computing journey. I didn't think much of the vRealize renaming. That to me was more marketing blah blah. But what really did pique my interest was the announcement that VMware are going to get into the container business. So, because when you really think about it, if you look at the Docker architecture, where the container is running on an operating system, there's no reason why that container could not run on a hypervisor. So that there was very interesting. The whole DevOps thing and integrating with that, and you've got all of these other companies out there like Solstice. stack and chef, and there's so much going on there, you know, and I don't understand a lot of it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. They have their own OpenStack distribution coming out, and just recently announced something for developers, something called CodeStream to help push out revisions. So for cloud, it's they're definitely making a push to the developer crowd, which is interesting.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's a lot of things going on, and now even just to maintain your expertise in vSphere or vCloud, like that, there is it's almost like a PhD in itself. You know, if you want to do NSX as well as end user computing and management. There's a lot of things to learn.
And did you have any thoughts about the hyperconverged infrastructure? They've got EvoRail, which is for smaller businesses, but they also have technical previews for EvoRack, which is for companies more of your size.
Absolutely. So for me, I think I've lived the pain and suffering of monolithic infrastructure, in particular monolithic storage. Obviously, the big weakness with monolithic storage is the price point, the amount of money that you need to invest every 3 or 5 years, and then the capacity versus performance problem. So when you first get the storage system installed, it works perfectly. You're very, very happy with it. As you utilize the full capacity of that system, then you start hitting performance issues. So I think that, so for me, hyperconverged is a big part of my strategy. So obviously for VDI and dedicated DMZ clusters and your management cluster for your cloud management platform, makes perfect sense. So that's something that's a part of my strategy at Bank Obolab, and is also something that I'm suggesting to my colleagues at STC. So I personally think that's the future. And when you look at what Nutanix is doing with their platform, so they now have an all-flash array that was recently announced, so that they're suitable for business-critical systems. And I think it's only going to get better and more scalable. So pretty soon you'll have a platform that you can run mission-critical applications on. So instead of having their 2-socket nodes, they'll have a 4-socket node. Right, and it'll be all flash, and you'll have more capacity, et cetera. So for me, I think it's really the future. And then the only question is, from a strategic perspective, is how do I continue to maximize my investment in the monolithic infrastructure that I have in my data center? And that's where companies like Pernix Data come in with their server-side flash cache acceleration. Obviously, within vSphere 5.5, we have VFRC. That's also something that you can use to fix some of your performance issues that you have with monolithic storage. So for me, hyperconverged is definitely the future. And if you're not comfortable with hyperconverged, then converged infrastructure like FlexPod and vBlock from VCE, they all kind of make sense as well. It's very interesting with the Evo announcement. So my personal preference is Nutanix or Simplivity, because they've been around for a lot longer. You know, for me, to put Evo into a data center for production workloads is something that I would wait until they were a little more mature. Now, I know that the Evo front end is actually only a management front end for deploying the infrastructure, and they're basically using vSAN for the shared storage. Mm-hmm. But still, I would be waiting before I put that into my data center. I'd be still looking at Nutanix and Simplivity, who do have very mature products.
Now, the last question I had for you today, this is kind of a pipe dream type of question. So if there was a feature or a product you would like to see from VMware, where would that be? What, you know, it could be maybe a feature in one of the products you're using, or a new product altogether, or maybe there's a company that VMware should look at acquiring.
Yeah, VMware, they're just doing so much. well, there's two things. One of the things I originally looked at you or the Horizon Suite 3 years ago, and I chose Citrix instead. And that was because they had hardware acceleration with their VDI solution, okay? So it was basically a software and hardware partnership of products that you would purchase from them. So one of the weaknesses I see in Horizon at the moment is the fact that they don't own the PCOIP protocol for the desktop delivery, so the KVM traffic. So I would have thought that by now they would have purchased that. I know they have a very tight partnership with Teradici, but partnership and owning are two different things. The other thing was, at Bank Obelud, I deployed IP-based storage through my entire data center, so using NFS version 3. So one of the big questions that I always had was, when are you going to actually implement NFS version 4, which from VMworld, in one of the presentations I was in, they were saying, okay, NFS version 4 will actually be supported with the new coming release of vSphere. So those are the two things that come to mind. And as far as everything else goes, they're just doing so many cool things in the moment. You know? They really are disrupting the industry.
Yeah, they've it's hard to keep track, and what's great for me, because there's always something new to write about.
Yeah.
Rene, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me today, and just want to wish you the best of luck with your new position, and hopefully I'll bump into you maybe at the next VMworld.
For sure, you can count on it, but thank you again for having me on. It's been a lot of fun having a chat.